we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this building where you can meet in like-minded Christians, having fellowship in the character and in the name of Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity to sit under your word cut straight. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate teacher here. And may these saints and myself included be edified and built up by this message today. We thank you in the character of Christ. Amen. You know, I've been thinking about this bizarre, crazy, but before I get started, I want to make this disclaimer. As a speaker today, I don't want to get political, so. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the guy that I voted for, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the woman that I didn't vote for. So we got that out of the way. We can move on. But part of this message is about that, because there's a lot of folks that are pretty concerned about now with what's going on in this political scene in the United States of America. Not just here, but around the world too. So the title to this message is Crypto. I think I'm saying it right. And that's hidden. And the reason I felt led to speak on this message today is because of what's going on around this world. And the thing is, it's always going on around this world. This world satanic system is always going on around. So the first thing I want to mention is the four blindnesses that mankind has, spiritual blindnesses, right? And they are the natural blindness, the satanic blindness, the judicial blindness, and the carnal blindness, right? So as a Gentile, I had two of them, right? I had the natural blindness and I had the satanic blindness prior to my rebirth, prior to my being saved, prior to the new birth, prior to the washing by the Holy Spirit. And then the Jew, now you think about this, the poor Jew, he had three of them. He had the same two that I have and we had as Gentiles. And by the way, is there any people in here that were Jews in their previous life? I don't mean Taiwan, I meant Jew. Hebrews, Israelite. No? Okay. So they had three, and they had the natural, the satanic, and they had the judicial, right? So if there was a Jew sitting in this building right now, right there in that pew, and he wasn't saved, I can understand why he can't or couldn't or won't or wouldn't understand what we're talking about today, because he's blind, right? And the scriptures tell us we are not to judge the world. Now, I understand that we can judge the sin. Sin is called sin, right? But not the person, not that person. So we leave that up to, cause you know, I kind of just look at my own track record, my own life prior to being saved. And you know what? People talk about people persecuting with that disdain, that contempt, that loathing that the pagan or the heathen has for Christians, right? Right. Well, guess what? I had it too. I mean, if I knew somebody was a Christian, I pretty much would, if I could, I would do it mentally, emotionally, spiritually. If I could, I would do it physically too. Take the back of their head and shove it into the, and ridicule and make fun of them as a pagan. I did that. I'm not bragging. I'm not proud of that, but that's what I did. So who am I to judge these people? Who am I to judge but Donald Trump. If he's not a believer, and I don't think he is, I'm not judging the guy. But I'm grateful that he's going to be the president of the United States of America. But I don't know. And you and I, we don't know what's going to happen, right? Okay, but let's get back to blindness. So that Jew that's saved, he's lost those three blindnesses, right? But then that Gentile that's been saved, he has lost those two blindnesses. But now he's got a brand new blindness. It's called walking by the flesh instead of by means of the Spirit. So when I or you or we are not walking yielded to God's will, yielded to the Holy Spirit, we're walking by means of the sin nature, right? So we're carnally blind, which in my opinion sometimes can be worse than them people that are naturally blind or satanically blind or judicially blinded at that point in time, because I've been in I think 12 years or so, 13, 14 now, since I've been saved. It's like there's been times when I've been walking by means of the sin nature, right? And it's miserable, right? So that was kind of a little bit of an introduction. So in every book in the Bible, old and new, without reverse typology, without taking the new and trying to homogenize it into the old and making a new doctrine, we're all one big happy family and Didascalia and Didache. No, not that. But doing the reverse, the other typology, taking the old and trying to homogenize into the new and making a brand new doctrine too. No. But there is persecution. There's always persecution. Those Old Testament saints, they were under persecution, right? Whether they were in the four dispensations prior to the dispensation of law, right? They were still under some sort of persecution. But we in Christ were under persecution too. But we don't have to do anything in order to be under persecution. You can just be a Christian. You can just not join into the crap or the stuff, the junk that's going on all around you at work or at the store or at the restaurant. We stopped at Rock and Rogers in Rickrill and we had cheeseburgers, and you should have heard the stuff that was coming out of that cook's mouth back behind his station where he was cooking. It was terrible, right? So it just kind of rolls over the top of you. So we could have got up and left, but eventually he stood at the cash register talking to the one of the waitresses, and he was going on and on about, can you imagine these people want this food cooked too? And you know what I did? I just sat. I kind of had it up to here by this time. I didn't go up and say anything to him. I just sat in my chair and gave him the look, to kind of lift him in the eye. You know, and he kind of went. And the next thing you know, he shut up and he went back and cooked our food, and the waitress brought us to us, and I said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But it's going on all around us. So there, in the Bible, there is persecution and tribulations, as there was in this life and in the life we live today, and as there was in Colossians, right? That sound Italian? So they were under persecution, right? Now, and you can bet, as I just stated about the restaurant scene, And Don is the one that explained it to me about the persecution now. See, we're in the United States of America. We have a lot of freedom that other countries around this world don't really have. I mean, they're really under some physical persecution, some of them, in Russia and China, in Indonesia, where you got to wear a tag that says, I'm a Christian. It can be pretty gruesome, the persecution, the tribulations, the pain that you pay for being a Christian, right? The cost you pay. So, but we, in the United States of America, we don't have it too bad as of yet. But from the way it's looking in this election thing with these people, it kind of reminds me of little kids in their high chairs beating on this, on the tray with their spoons and fork going, wah, 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 this isn't fair. Where's our entitlements? Right? Don't take my bottle from me. Don't take my applesauce. Don't take my potatoes and gravy. I don't want it, or you're throwing it, right? As a little baby, a little kid. And that's what they remind me of, how they're reacting to this election and what's happened. Right? Because I know what it is. They're going to lose their entitlements. We talked about that at lunch too. So our life is hidden, and all this stuff's going on around us. It makes no, never mind. It doesn't mean anything to my position and our position in Christ. Amen. Because we're in Christ. Amen. And you know what? We're just passing through. Amen. We're just sojourning through here. And as far as I'm concerned, it couldn't happen any quick. Boom, bye, see you. Right? Because we're aliens and strangers on this planet. So your life, my life, our life is hidden in Christ. And we're Christians. And we're Christians because we were saved by the gospel, the initial gospel of salvation. We had some wadges come to the front door last week, and I'd already had my title made up for this. And so I don't normally even want to talk to the wadges, and they haven't been stopping at the house for a long time. I wonder why, but anyway, so they stopped. This guy, there was a whole bunch of them in the street, supposedly. So I heard a knock on the door. So I walked to the door, and I stood in front of the screen door because the door was open, and there was one wadge, one guy in a brown suit, older guy. And I looked him in the eye and said, can I help you? And he says, I knew what he wanted. He wanted to wadge me. He wanted to tell me all about wadges. I mean, he wanted me to go to hell with him, I guess. And so I talked to him, and I felt led to do so. And I usually don't feel led to talk to anybody because I'm not an evangelist, right? I don't feel like I need to teach somebody, you know. And I give the gospel a thousand times in all those years before I got here, and two people were saved, and there's nothing to do with me. It was because God set up these divine appointments. Ronnie and my dad's widow, Kathy. And that was it. But when I get done giving them the gospel, I started teaching them. You can see the veil come down over their eye, but I'm not paying attention. I'm just teaching them, right? Well, I know now I'm not an evangelist. I know what my gift is. I know what I'm supposed to do with the gift that God gave me. Right? And I'm doing it right now. So it's like, but I felt that. So I gave him the initial gospel of salvation. And I told him about John 16:7-11. And I told him about Ephesians 2:8-9. And I told him about 1 Corinthians 3:5. And I told him about Philippians 1:29. Grace, grace, grace. Right? Through faith. Right? In Christ Jesus. And this guy's tracking with me. And I thought it was really kind of weird that he came by himself. Because there were people in the street. I never saw them, but you did. And they weren't there. They just disappeared. I don't know where they went, but I thought, wow, this must be a divine appointment. So I went ahead and I gave them more than the gospel. probably spent, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes with him. But anyway, so I know that I'm not an evangelist. So I don't want to waste his time or her time or my time. And I know I can't waste the Holy Spirit's time, but it's not my responsibility to do so unless I am led by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:15, and then I need to pull the trigger. And then I need to be ready to do so. And I need to be knowing that it's not my will, but God's will, right? So hidden, secretly, concealed, and it implies safety. We are safe in Christ, no matter what they do. I mean, greater is he in me than he that's in the world. I'm stealing this from this morning. It's true. And no matter what happens, it's God's got it. He's got our back. He's got it all. We never did anything to get saved. We're not doing anything to keep our salvation. So guess what? Whatever they do to this body, this vessel we're trapped in, it don't make no difference. I hope if they do something, I hope they do it quick. Suffer too much, right? So it implies safety. And to be co-resurrected intimately together with Christ in God. So our word that I really want to focus on this day in this message is the word hidden or crypto. Today we will endeavor to break these four verses, and these four verses are Colossians 3, 1 through 4. We're going to break them down. We want to remember and check out the verbs, dig out the nuggets. A participle is in there, you know, ongoing, and the word sitting. And but we want to remember and mull that word over in the back of our minds, especially in this day and age that we are hidden. We are in Christ. And that's what I kept telling that wadge at that door. I am in Christ. No one could snatch me out of his hand. I'm in Christ. So to me, it points back to the gospel of initial salvation. How can you talk about our position without prior talking about how it all came about? And to tell you the truth, I really don't know how it came about. All I know is the longer I was alive, the more I knew that something was missing. I thought it was a something, but I found out it was a somebody, which equates to something. The somebody was Christ, and he is my satisfaction, and he's all our satisfaction, and he's a propitiatory. He's a satisfaction. It's God's judgmental anger, wrath. So he's my satisfaction, because I never could be satisfied in my whole life before that, because I always wanted more. Covetousness, idolatry. I wanted more. And when I see that in Romans 7, I go, me too, Paul. Me too, Apostle Paul. I wanted more too. So when you look back, I look back and I go, wow, how did this all come about? God. 100% God. So it always points back to the gospel. So it always leaves you this, and always leaves me in this position, this spot in my life, my mind, is that what did we do to be saved? And I know in this world system, this satanic world system, in our sin nature, and Satan lying to us with the bombarding fiery darts, you know, I know all this stuff, this bombardment of these three enemies, and it tells us, no, we may have done a little bit, right? We might have done just a little bit. I'll never forget when when Pastor Dave, Professor Dave back there said in the Woodburn Evening School, he baited me, set the hook, man. But there was a whole bunch of people in there, and I kept waiting for somebody to say something. I was on the edge of my seat, you know, I wanted to sprint out there and say, hey, we believe. And that's exactly what I did. I jumped up and said, we believe, because nobody else said anything. So I said, we believe. And he said, no, you didn't do anything. He did it all. You didn't do nothing. I went, and man, you know, in my own mind, I'm a rebellious, stiff-necked, stubborn, obstinate, argumentative. So I, in my spirit, I'm going, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I did something. I believe, man. What's wrong with that guy? But you know what? I went away and I thought about it and I read about it. And you know what? I came to the conclusion as the Holy Spirit illumined me that I didn't do nothing. And then in seminary, I saw those three verses that I've already talked about, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and Philippians. And I went, given. Believe. What did you do? You didn't do anything. And I saw it clearly. And I, and you know, whenever you're in seminary, you're in classes, you're whatever, in the building, and you're sitting under the teaching, and you might hear it 200 times, like I've had a lot of opportunity to do, and I finally go, bingo, and the light goes on, like, oh man, I did it. Well, it's like, it's all necessary to get to that point to be able to receive it or accept it. Understand it, be illumined to it. The light goes on in your head, in your spirit. So, if we may, let's go ahead and get started, and we'll, let's turn to Colossians 2:20-23. Most of the scriptures for this message are in my paper, so we're going to kind of try to blitzkrieg. I've probably taken too long in my introduction. That's okay. I can always come back later and finish it. It was one of my nicknames growing up was Mumbles. Colossians. Okay, here we go. Colossians 2:20. Wrong page. And this is going to take us into Colossians 3:1-4. So it's kind of building a case for what I was talking about with the Trump thing and the riots and all the insanity going on. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, and I could probably say world system, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch. Do not taste. Do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. Kind of like a Romanist with the flagellation, trying to kill their flesh, because it's the flesh. It's the flesh, man. It's warred against the flesh. No, they don't understand. It's the inside. It's the sin nature. It's not the flesh. But are of no value against the indulgences of the sin nature. So I think about 350 A.D., there's a guy named Emperor Constantine. I think that's about when it happened. And he was in Constantinople, and he brought, supposedly, I have never figured this out, how you do this, but you bring a spiritual thing called the church, and you bring it to Rome. I still don't understand that, but to me, I would think that you would bring the people, all the people that were supposed Christian, and bring them to Rome. And when that happened, it became the state church, to my understanding, of the Roman Empire at that time. And as soon as that happened, the centurions, the Roman centurions, went all over Rome to these cultists and these so-called religious people, and they took shanks and they said to these people that had these different meetings all over Rome, they said to him, you either believe in the name of Jesus Christ, we're shoving this shank up into your solar plexus and you're dead. So they said, I believe, right? So what happened was, the point is of all this, is they became assimilated into Christianity. And so those people that were down in the catacombs and the tombs, the real Christians are under persecution and tribulation for their faith. Guess what happened to them? They come up out of there, right? Because now it's popular to be a Christian. So the faith, the message, the church, the spiritual church got watered down. And they just added these rules and traditions to the church, to the body of Christ. And that's kind of what this reminds me of right here. Even though this preceded 350 AD or whenever that was, it's still the same principle. And you see it now. You see with the Romanists adding all that junk, and there's the effigies and the little statues and all that stuff, and I'm not bad mouthing Romanists. You look at the Wadges, you look at whoever. And they add. And what happens is man gets further and further and further and further back from a relationship with God. Because they're adding all this junk. But in Colossians 3:1, it says, since, first class condition, since then, y'all, second person plural, aorist, y'all, all you Christians, us, we. When I say y'all, I'm talking about me too. Since y'all are co-raised intimately together with Christ. So we've all been co-raised soon, intimately together with Christ. Colossians 2:12 says, in the chapter that preceded 3, says, y'all, same verb, y'all are co-buried together with him, Christ, in baptism. Positional. Position, position, position. And then 2:12 again says, y'all are co-raised intimately together with him. And Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we are buried with him into the death. Y'all seek the things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So the moment we were saved, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the God, they see us complete. They see us finished. They see it's done. He sees us, when we say, see at the right hand, he sees us in Christ. He doesn't see us down here struggling with who to vote for, or struggling with how to get the money to pay the rent, or struggling with the checker gave me an extra $20 bill. Should I give it back? Where'd that come from? Should I give it back? Right? Or whatever the case may be. Struggling with living with this inside enemy, the sin nature, and Satan and his demonic forces shooting you upside the head, and The world system caving into your eyeballs, telling you you need just a little bit more. And then I'll be happy. And then I'll be satisfied. And then I'll be just like the Joneses, right? So that's verse 1. Verse 2, 3-2. Y'all frame your minds on things of God. So you take your mind, and you know, I don't know about you guys, but I think about that often. Sometimes when I lay my head on the pillow at night, my mind's spinning. And I can just think, hey, Duggins, just frame your mind on things above in Christ Jesus, where he's seated, prost with the Father. But there, right there. He's right there, and you're in him, man. And the Father sees you in him. He don't see you struggling out here by your lonesome. He don't see you standing beside where he's sitting. He sees you in Christ. So guess what? It's already done. It's all done. It's all been done for you. So when people tell me about, well, the battle was won at the cross, I say, nope. The war was won at the cross. The battle rages on, and every single Christian that's alive is still raging. The sin nature, Satan, boom, 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 and the world system, continually. But Romans 6 says we can live above the sin nature. You know, a woman here a while back one time, just recently, we were at lunch after the Wednesday Bible study, and she called on the telephone in the middle of, we were having lunch at a Chinese joint, and she called and she was attacking me on the telephone because of my sermon up at Detroit. And it was about Romans 6. I never really got out of that introduction, but I was punching 4:15, 6:15 in Galatians 2:20, 21. I had taken the helicopter like Mark Conrad talks about, and I landed it right on a rock, and I was just digging up the nuggets, and she was so mad at me because I told her we're not under a quality of the law. But I clarified and told her that, you know what? That doesn't mean that we don't obey the law of the land. The United States of America, the state of Oregon, the county of Yanhill, where we live, the city of Dayton, we obey them. Go to McMinnville, obey the speed limits, obey the law, right? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the spiritual law, right? We're talking about the Mosaic law. We're not under the Mosaic law, any kind of law concerning that. We have one commandment, that we love one another. And I talked about that, and I used the graduation as an example, that my brother and sister were absolutely thunderstruck by the fact that you guys were directing agape love towards me. And they did not understand it. They were thunderstruck. And that's exactly what that John 13:34 is talking about. By that they will know that you are my disciples. Little mature ones growing, maturing in Christ. And they were like, whoa, what is that? And they mentioned it to me too. You could see it. So I told her, this lady that called and was freaking out on me on the telephone, and she was yelling on the phone, and I kept going, excuse me, wait a minute. Do you not understand that you're not a Jew? Are you a Jew? Are you a Jew? And if I'd have thought about it then, I'd have said, well, no wonder you don't understand it, because you're probably still judicially blinded. You can't see the truth, right? You can't know the truth, can't see the truth. So, but I didn't think of that. I just said, well, Don't take my word for it. Just open up your Bible and go to Romans 4:15 and read it in context. And go to Romans 6:15 and read it in context. Read the whole chapter, right? If you want to, go on to 7 and you can finish right there. You can finish right there at Romans 8:1, right? There is now no condemnation. And I said, and while you're at it, go over to Galatians 2:20, 21. And I rest my case. There's no need to discuss it anymore. I can go on my lunch and you can just go ahead and check it out. And that was the last time she ever called me. So I don't know what happened. I hope she read it. So we go to John 13:33. It says, young learners, for I am yet with you a little time longer. It says, you all will seek me. And just as I had said to the Jews, where I'm going, you are not able to come above. Not on things of the earth. So in other words, saying, you can't come up here where I'm going because you're stuck down here, right? But when you look at this, when you look at this verse right here that I just read in John 13:33, if you look at the fact in Colossians 3:1-4, it says you can go where he is while we're down here on this earth. But you do it spiritually. You do it in the realm of your rational mind. You do it in the realm of your spirit. You can see yourself. You can actually be there in Christ Jesus. You can leave all this junk behind through your spirit because of our position in Christ. So when I hate to use the word hell, but when all hell is breaking loose, we got someplace we can go. And I don't think it's an avoidance. I don't think it's like an ostrich sticking his head in the sand. I think it's a place of safety and a place of security and a place of peace. It's a place of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And so we can partake of that fruit and walk by the means of the Spirit instead of getting carnal and overreacting to something or somebody. Then in 2 Corinthians, I love this one too. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says, for our lightness of tribulation, which is but for a moment, is working far beyond all measure, is working out for us an eternal weight of glory. We do not look at the things that are seen, but the things not being seen. For the things that are seen are temporary or temporal. But, strong contrast, the things that are not seen are eternal. So that, to me, ties in with Colossians 3, 1 and 4. Because it's saying, guess what, guys? Hey, check out. Check out and check in with our position in the throne room in Christ. In his humanoid form, where he's sitting face to face with the Father, intercessing on our behalf. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really cool. But you notice all these are second plural passive. A couple of them I think are indicative, reality. Probably the seeking, they're indicative, or they can be imperative. And I love the imperative because it says, it's like my parents telling me, you know what, Bobby, for your own, this is for your own good. If you know what's good for you, you will do this. And that's, we're not under any kind of, God's not with a hammer pounding us upside the head going, you better do it now and you better do it my way. Bang! He's saying, if you know what's really good for you, I love you so much, I want you to do the right thing. Right? So this is the best option for you to do it this way. So that imperative, I really like those imperatives when I see them. I like the indicative too, the reality of it. But so I noticed that they could either be one or the other, which I don't, you understand it, and he understands it, and he probably, I'm not sure I understand it yet, how they can flock like that, but I guess they can because they got the same. So, but anyway, I thought that was really cool. For y'all are dead, this is in verse 3, Colossians 3:3. For y'all are dead, and the life, your life, has been hidden intimately together with Christ in the God. I wonder what life he's talking about. Really, come on, man. What life do you think it is? I mean, do you think it's like this life we're trudging along here in these physical tents? Or is he talking about the eternal life? Well, I'm kind of thinking it's eternal life. Matter of fact, I know it's eternal life. But hidden. So whatever they do, if everybody knew in Washington County, this is Washington County, isn't it? Everybody knew in Washington County that this little congregation was here today and that we had voted for you know who. And those riders came up marching up. They brought them in cattle trucks and dumped them off down the street down here. And they started surrounding the building, right? They started shooting arrows and throwing, that'd work. Yeah. But no, I was thinking torches. You know, because it's getting dark now, they're going to use torches. And they start throwing their torches at the building, right? No matter what happens, our position's in Christ, right? I mean, we probably ought to try to get out of here. But that natural instinct kicks in and we want to run, right? And save ourselves, right? My fear wouldn't be dying in that situation. My fear would be living, burnt like a fried potato from head to toe. And you know, just that'd be terrible as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? Obviously it would give God glory in some way. I don't know how. Maybe the people that are waiting on me would have to, you know, exhibit some agape love. I don't know. Maybe they could put the gospel on my forehead or something. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that I would probably, and we would all probably try to, you know, break down a door and get the heck out of here. I'd run through these crazy people. I'll call 911 and get the state police here or whatever, National Guard. But I'm being serious. Come on. But the point is, our lives are hidden in Christ. And Christ is in the God. And that's an amazing privilege. So when you think about it, really, truly, it does come down to no matter what happens, God's got our back and he's got it covered. So. Then we go to verse 4. Verse 4 of Colossians 3:4. Whenever Christ, who is our life, should happen to manifest himself, then y'all, also will be manifested intimately together with him in glory. I hope you guys like my translations. All right. So, So when he had manifest himself, we all know what that means. That means our apostle, right? When he comes to get us, take the church out. So when he manifests himself, then y'all, everybody raise their hand, also will be manifested intimately together with him in glory. We'll be in the presence of glory. But actually, before we even get to the rapture of the harpazo, if I was to drop dead right now in a heap right here, and my spirit and my soul went to be with the Lord, and there would be this intermediary body in 2 Corinthians 5:1-9, and it would this temporary body would house my spirit and my soul. I'm having a problem. We're having a problem at the Wednesday memory care facility in Salem because the entertainment director has his, I say this in tongue in cheek, has his chapel the same time we have our Bible study, right? But they're playing music and playing games and they're having fun down there. And all I'm doing is cutting the word straight in the Christian life. And it's like last week we had 5 people there. But I think in the people that are in the meeting, the Bible study with me, they seem to be concerned that there's a small group of people and everybody's going down there to have the fun and games and the candy and cookies and the pop and all that stuff, right? And I tell them over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's okay. It's always been a remnant. It's always going to be a remnant. If there's 100 people living in that building under care, if there's 5 people here, it's okay because that's the way it is. But I'm still thinking about changing the timing so I can get those other 3 or 4 people back. I think they're really Christian because of the way they respond to the teaching in the class. Some of those people light up like the 4th of July. And I thank God they're not Pentecostal or the other one. They say, amen, hallelujah. And they're jumping all around talking in tongues and stuff because they've got their facial expressions in their eyes. Man, they are tracking. They are tracking with God's word. And I really appreciate it because it really edifies me when I see it. Not only does God's words edify me, but their response does too. So in 1 Timothy 1:16, it says, strong contrast, but because of this, I was shown mercy, so that in me, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are coming to believe on him for eternal life. So I gave Barbie Higley at the care facility, the memory care facility, I gave her the gospel on 11.5 by 8 by 11.5 sheet, big bold print. And then at the top of it, I put, when necessary, use these words. And I put arrows down to the gospel. So in other words, you don't have to run around giving the gospel every 5 seconds, right? Everybody you run into. But when you feel led by the Holy Spirit, as you're living out your godliness, which is eternal life, which is God's eternal life, which is manifesting a quality of Christ through us, right? And they see this in our daily lives. Not that we don't have problems and issues and junk like that, but they see us. They see this godliness and they're seeing Christ through us and they go, why is that guy different? And they're maybe being drawn to that. And when they ask the question, so in other words, when necessary, you're living your life out of Christ. When necessary, when they ask, you pull the trigger and you tell them the initial gospel of salvation. And I don't feel that I have to tell them John 16:7-11 and Ephesians 2:8, just the gospel. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take it. Maybe right then, maybe next week, maybe never. But if you're led, then I want to give it. So I got that on the wall, right? In Barbie's room. In that long suffering, which she's long suffering because she's in that building because she's blind. She didn't seem to have a whole lot of memory things going on. She seems pretty sharp, but there's not a lot of care facility places that want to take blind people. So she's paying a lot of money monthly to stay in that building, right? So she's got that up on the, and a lot of people come in there to see her, and a lot of the people, the staff that works there, they have to, she can't even go to the bathroom by herself because they're afraid she's going to fall on herself and her son will sue the place. So they come in all the time. So they're seeing the gospel on the wall, and they're seeing Barbie, and they're seeing me, and they're seeing other Christians showing up to visit and take her places, and they're seeing the gospel being lived out. So whenever they have that need to ask that question, 1 Peter 3:15, we want to be able to pull the trigger. That's all. So there's that long suffering. There's that pattern. So in conclusion, very fast, today we've noticed that we are in the world, but not of this world. Our position in Christ, who is sitting in the throne room of the third heaven face to face with the Father. That's where our position is. We're in Christ. We are co-crucified. Oh, pardon me. Not only that, but Christ is in God and we are in Christ. As I said, we are co-crucified intimately together with Christ. We are co-buried intimately together with Christ. We are co-raised intimately together with Christ. We are co-baptized intimately together with Christ. We know that these light tribulations and persecutions are only temporary. They're just like us. We're just passing through. We're just sojourning through. We're trucking through. Are temporary, and that we face in the USA, this United States of America, we already talked about, it's disdain and contempt and loathing. Like, just shut your mouth and get out of my face. Go away. Just go away. Go crawl under your Bible and get out of my face, right? But no spilled blood yet, right? I haven't had anybody in here spilled any blood over there being a Christian yet, or at least not yet, or not much here, right? There's, I've heard a few stories, but not a lot. But in closing, and the last thing I have to say is I'm sure that's going to change, though. So, but I just want to make sure that we all focus on the fact that we're hidden in Christ. And it's a done deal. It's a done deal. The war was won at the cross. The battle rages on. We got bills to pay, right? We got new jobs to get. We got new jobs to get fired at. Whatever it might be, we got to go on. We got a speeding ticket just like ordinary people do, right? So, but that doesn't matter. Our lives are hidden. Our eternal life, our eternal destination, it's all hidden in Christ. So Let's close with a word of prayer and we'll get out of here. Father, thanks for the day again, and thanks for the opportunity to sit under your word. And thank you for the Holy Spirit as he teaches and illumines us and enlightens us to what you have for us this day. And I want to thank all the people online, if there's anybody online. Thank them for tuning in and listening to us. And we thank you for everything you're doing through us. And we just ask that you would let us keep our minds framed on things above, seek the things above, not down here on this earth, but seek the position that we are in Christ and heaven, and walk by means of the Spirit to be able to obtain that on a daily basis, moment by moment. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.